In conversation with Scott Estrella. Scott Estrella has been a voracious consumer of fantasy and science fiction books and movies since he was a kid, but did not start writing until later in life. He lives in Vancouver, Washington, United States of America, but is a native of the San Francisco Bay Area. His three published novels are highly rated on Amazon, and his fourth book, the third book in the Legacy of the Planeswalker series, released soon. And on today's episode of Auto Interview, to my utmost pleasure, joy and excitement to have on the show today, Scott Estrella. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm well, Peter. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fine. It's actually very lovely to have you on the show today. Quite exciting. We're going to be having a conversation around your beautiful titles. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited too.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Yeah, thank you. So, Scott, I'd like us to start today's conversation with your book, The Paladin Curse, which is the first book in the Legacy of the Planeswalker series. And I'd like to ask you, how does this book come about? What inspired you to write The Paladin Curse?
Yeah, so Paladin's Curse.
Beautiful cover.
Thank you. Quite proud of it. Yeah, the Paladin's Curse, what inspired me? Well, my wife actually inspired me. I had written a couple of hundred pages of what I thought was going to be a short story decades ago, called The Paladin's Curse, and it just sat on my computer for ages and ages. And one day she was looking for something in my documents and opened it up and started reading, and then she liked it, so she encouraged me to pick it back up. And so what started as, potentially a short story, I started thinking about it, and as I began to think more and more, and started working on it, eventually the story grew into a 120,000 word novel.
Wow. That's actually very interesting. I mean, it's quite fun. A potential short story grow into and develop into an amazing, lovely novel eventually. Sounds quite amazing. And I love to give some compliment to your wife for encouraging you to, pick it up and jump into the profession of becoming an author. Sounds quite lovely to me. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
It's nice to be supported, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And you also have a follow-up book to The Paladin's Curse in the name of The Prince Shadow, which is a second series in the book, yeah? For readers who haven't
Yeah.
read that yet also, and without giving much information away, could you have a sneak of what you'd expect in terms of themes, picking up, the second series, The Prince Shadow?
Well, I guess we should probably start with the Paladin's Curse, just to be fair.
Yeah.
The book starts with one of the main characters, Vinden Stonefist, who is the product of a troll raid on an elven village, and in a strange twist of fate, an elven maiden gives birth to this monstrous tr child with green skin and claw-like nails and a mouthful of
Wow.
jagged teeth and red eyes and that sort of thing. She can't handle it, so she leaves the babe on at a mountain monastery, where he's raised by these scholarly monks who school him in science and mathematics and reading and such, but also in martial arts and swordsmanship and tactics and that sort of thing. And he becomes this weird, monstrous prodigy of all those things. He becomes this weird, monstrous prodigy in all of those things. And eventually Vinden grows up and wants to see the world and meet people outside the monastery, which is all he's ever known. And they gift him with this magical artifact, which is an earring
Wow.
that disguises him as human so that he can go out without basically scaring everybody. So he sets off, to make his way in the world disguised as a man. Due to his genetic makeup, Vinden is very long-lived and tries over the course of centuries to find acceptance with society. But he's always found out and run off by angry mobs with torches and pitchforks and that kind of thing. And eventually he decides to give up and spend time alone to do some soul searching. And that's really where the book begins. He wanders off into the woods and finds an abandoned cottage that he makes his own, and he kind of swears off. He makes the decision not to use the earring, and he's kind of done with the charade of pretending he's someone other than who he really is. And then he ends up meeting Baronius Avertine, who was once a paladin but is now disgraced due to a curse he received while performing his duties. And the two become fast friends, and Vinden vows to help Baronius cure his curse. And they set out to find the one who bestowed the curse upon Baronius. Along the way, they meet a rogue prince named Conlan and a prodigal wizard named Devidria, and the four of them build a strong friendship, and they work as they work together, to help Baronius cure his curse. And for the first time in Vinden's life, he has true friends, that know what he looks like and accept him.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing narration into a beautiful storyline. And if you have a copy of the book, please show it to the camera again just so you can see what it looks like. Both the first
Yeah,
and
and
the
the Prince of
second series.
Shadow.
There's a first, there's a second one, right? There's Prince
Yeah,
Shadow.
this is the second one, the Prince of Shadow,
I think there's a
and
bat in the cover in there. Would you like to talk about the making of the cover?
So I've actually been working with this amazing graphic artist out of New York City, and he does these wonderful covers for me. And it's like you can, peer inside my mind and know what the vision looks like. And I just kind of describe it
Absolutely.
to him. And then he sends this stuff, and I'm like, that's exactly what I was talking about, and it's great when you've got somebody, that you really like working with. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, the Prince of Shadows. So, it picks up right where the Paladin's Curse left off. It's got wild battles with monsters at sea. It's like a lot of it takes place aboard ships. It's got a real deeper dive into the motivation behind the villains. It introduces two new villains that are among my favorite characters to write. They're kind of snarky and they argue back and forth, and it's just the dialogue's really fun for me to write. Really difficult for me to say too much without spoiling Paladin's Curse. But I will say, that the second novel was, so much more fun to write than the first one, because I didn't have to bother with the origin stories. They were already established, so I could just get right into the action. And I could start working on, weaving some more depth into the plot and that
Absolutely.
sort of thing. And it was a lot, I don't know, more freeing, not trying to describe, the history behind, the four main characters, which, can be difficult, when you just want to write about the action. That's the fun stuff.
Oh wow. This is quite amazing, really. I enjoy you talking about it, and it's quite fun listening to you having a long conversation around the making of the book. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. Thank you. And now, Scott, there's this question that I love asking authors like on Pearl. I've always been fascinated and taken aback about our authors, especially novelists like yourself. Craft long sentences and bring words together in a way that sentences make paragraph, and paragraph make pages, and pages make chapters, and chapters combination make an amazing, lovely novel eventually. And this always leaves me thinking, how exactly did they got the ideas and inspiration to pull these words together in a way that an amazing, beautiful novel is being formed eventually? And now, as far as writing is concerned, I'd like to ask you too. How do you get your inspirations and ideas? Where do you get a concept behind the Palandai's Curse?
That's a great question. So the concept behind Paladin's Curse kind of has to go way back to when I was a boy, and I was, I like to play Dungeons and Dragons, and Dungeons and Dragons has all of these reference books, and they have these books called Monster Manuals that list out all of the baddies that you can meet while you're adventuring, playing, Dungeons and Dragons. And some of them are, characterized as evil without really much of a description on why they're evil, And, it's like, is a lion evil if it kills a man because it's hungry and eats him, or a shark for that matter, does that make them evil because they're hungry? And then one day I was reading this fantasy story, and the main character is stumbles upon this group of orcs, I think it was, and they were sitting around a campfire, like just like anybody else would, telling stories and laughing and eating and whatever. They were just minding their own business, and then they just slaughtered these orcs for no reason at all, and just because they were orcs. And I thought, well, who's the bad guy in this story, really? And I'm like, so it got me thinking. It's like, what makes somebody a monster? And it got me flowing down that path when I created this character, Vinden, who looks monstrous. He looks like a troll. He's got fangs and claws and red eyes and everything. But, he speaks like a gentleman, and he's a scholar, and he's probably smarter than any of the humans that are, afraid of him or talking to him. And all he just wants to do is, fit in with society. But he can't because, he's a monster. And so that's how that story came about.
Wow, that's quite amazing to know. You see, I enjoy your answers to these questions, actually. It's quite lovely to get to hear where your concept comes from, where your ideas and inspiration comes from or sprout out from. And thank you so much for sharing. Quite lovely, really. Thanks for sharing. And you've published two so far in the Legacy of the Planeswalker series. I'm curious, how many more books will there be in the series, or how many should we look forward to? Or is that the end of it all?
Well, I planned it out as a four book series, but now as I'm nearing the end of the third book, which, I'm only a couple of chapters away from, putting the finishing touches on that one. That's going to be called the Monk's Birthright. And as I'm nearing the end of this, I'm really questioning whether I'm going to be able to wrap this thing up in one more book. So, four was originally the idea, but maybe five. I'm really trying to keep it to four. That was the plan.
It's quite amazing to know. It's quite nice actually to know that you're wrapping up the third one and you're not so sure if it's, you're gonna stop in four.
There's so much to write, and I end up, do I scrap some of my ideas and leave them off the page, or do I just keep writing and,
It's actually fun.
have a fifth book?
It's actually funny. Even after writing or while writing, more ideas keep popping up. You'll be like, oh, another one is coming. Look as if there's gonna be more five. Oh no, more six. Oh, I think more seven. Oh, I don't think I can wrap it up in seven. More eight. Just keep
Yeah, I
on
hope it
going.
doesn't get that out of control, because I've got other stories in my head that
And
I'd
on
like to
and
write.
on and on, it keep increasing. Thank you so much for sharing. That's quite funny and quite fun to know, yeah? Thank you for sharing. And you have one of your recent novel is titled Tarnish. It's telling shade novel. I'm not quite sure if you have a copy of it there that you would like to share to
Sure,
the
yeah.
camera. Yeah, I'd like you to tell us a bit about this. I love the cover.
This was actually a different artist,
Yeah.
but a very good one. Tarnished. So, tar yeah, Tarnished is something altogether different, where the Planeswalker series takes place in the sort of pseudo medieval type scenario of a fantasy novels. This is in a steampunk setting, so it takes place in a city called Newport Praxl. Think of it like maybe 1890 London, except with magic. And they've got trains, and they're, revolver pistols are new technology for them, that kind of thing. The main character, Sterling Shade, who's he's a disgraced wizard. He was a talented enchanter, who had a really growing business with his partner, who was partner Callie, who is a tinker. So the two of them, they made all of these great contraptions. She made all of the parts, and he enchanted them into working. They had a great business. And then his fiance and his dad were murdered, and he really had a hard time with it, and kind of went in a downward spiral straight into a bottle. And he became a drunk, and a womanizer, kind of a real lech, really. Not a an admirable person in any sense, other than he's really good on the inside. But he kind of just gave up on life and is very disgruntled in the world, I guess you could say. But he becomes this sort of drunk wizard for hire who does nasty jobs for bad people. But then he finds a clue into the murder of his fiance and his father, and sets him on a path, and he cleans himself up so that he can sleuth this thing out, and becomes kind of a little detective. And he enlists the help of his best friend and his old partner Callie, and they team up, and they become sort of detectives, and they follow the clues on the murder. He ends up redeeming himself, somewhere through this book, through all of his deeds, and remembers, kind of, who he was before, and that sort of thing. I actually started a second book in the series, and then put it down to write The Prince's Shadow, and decided I wanted to finish up the Legacy of the Planeswalker series before I wrote more of these. So after I finish up with the Legacy series, I will probably write more Sterling Shade stories. I've actually got a horror book idea also rattling around up here that I've kind of put an outline together for. Well, I don't want to talk about it, but I definitely have lots of stuff coming out.
Wow, this is quite amazing. I
Yeah.
love
I
hearing
will
you
say
talk.
one thing about Tarnished is this book is not for all ages. It's got a lot of bad language and adult situations, and a lot of,
Adult situations.
badass that
I
sort of stuff
love
in
that
it.
word. I never knew what it means before, but when I had to check back with my brain, I said, "Oh, I get. I think I know what adult situations looks like." Interesting. Yeah, I actually love your sound of Tarnished, Sterling Shade novel. And it's quite amazing to hear you talk about it and also to know that you have some other ones coming up following it. Sounds quite amazing. So you've got quite a lot of things ongoing. I hope you find some time to sleep.
Yeah, it's very difficult sometimes.
Yeah, thank you so much. I know we've stylishly touched on this already. I mean, in terms of what you're working on. But yeah, apart from Tarnix and Planeswalker series, do you have any other works you've authored or say currently working on?
Basically, just the horror story would be the only thing else I've got on my list. It's growing. It's building momentum in my head. I've got the basic outline together on paper, but it's definitely going to have to wait until I think I'm going to write two more Sterling Shade novels before I pick that one up.
Interesting. Interesting. That's quite lovely. Quite great to know, really. Thank you. Now, I'd like to ask you, could you tell us what publishing is like for a published author like yourself? Are there any challenges you've encountered in the process of writing this book and also ever since you've got published? And also, how do you handle your criticism as a writer? I think I've got two questions in there already.
As far as criticism, that's tough. You really, you put your heart into these things, and you hold your breath, and you want to see how the world, sees it, how the world accepts your work. It's funny because when I published Tarnished, the very first review I had was a one-star review on Amazon, and it included a spoiler with the end of the book and everything. And he was very disgruntled, this person. And I thought, wow, one person read my book and they hated it, and they just told the whole world why. I was really depressed for a while. But then, more people read the book and more reviews started to come in, and Other than that one star review, I haven't had any reviews that were even close to that. I think the worst review I have on Tarnish, other than that, is a 3-star review. Most of them are 4 or 5 stars. And for the Legacy of the Planeswalkers books, they're all 4 or 5 star reviews. I think Paladin's Curse is at 4.6 stars on Amazon right now, and the Prince's Shadow is I think 4.8 or 4.9 stars. It kind of hovers right between those two. So reading all of those really good reviews, it's encouraging. And but the criticism hurts. But what challenges? That's the second part of this question. The biggest challenge I have is that I really love to write, and it can eat up a lot of time. And sometimes, I write at the expense of my family, my chores, and my other responsibilities, and it's hard to find a balance in there. And my wife is very supportive and understanding, and she tolerates the click, 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 click of the keystrokes wherever we are, sitting on the couch, on vacation and on the beach. Here I am, with my margarita and a laptop, and she just lets it happen. And to me, it's freeing, and it's enjoyable, and it's relaxing.
Absolutely.
But it is challenging to have that balance in life, and give it up. It's easy to become a bit of a workaholic when it comes to that, especially when you enjoy it so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you actually. And I love your answer. I find it a bit also quite relatable. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Before we call it a day today, is there anything that you would specifically love to share with the viewers about your books and writing career that we did not mention in this interview and you'd love the viewers to know? Is there anything?
I think what makes my stories different than a lot of other fantasy books is that I really can't stand any of the cliche nuances you find in a lot of fantasy novels. And when I'm looking for a new book to read, and I pick up the back cover and I'm looking at it, if I hear any of these phrases, the chosen one, destiny, or prophecy, I just put it right back down on the shelf. And that's just been done to death, and I can't read any more books like that. And so I really steer away from that stuff in my stories. I whether I'm reading or writing, I like my stories to be unique. I want the characters to have a genuineness to them, with like faults and mistakes made, and that sort of stuff, and a real depth to them.
Oh wow, I love that. Doing away with the cliché nuance, yeah. Sounds quite lovely to me. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much. I really enjoy your take on that. Quite lovely to know. And just in case we have some viewers who are currently watching this interview, I would love to get a copy of any of your books. On what platform are they available on for purchase?
Yeah, you can purchase the books on Amazon. We're working on getting them into Barnes and Noble and a few other bookstores. But Amazon currently is the place to go.
That's great. And I left a link in the discussion part of this interview where interested viewers can get a copy of Scott Estrella books directly on Amazon and also another platform. I also left a link to his website and social media pages for possible followings. So thank you so much, Scott, for accepting the invitation to be featured on P English Literature. It's awesome. And I must say, it's actually more than awesome, actually, having this lovely conversation with you around your beautiful titles. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Peter. I really enjoyed speaking with you today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure as well.